You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 74. My guest today is Abigail. Now, Abigail has a long dream, and I love this dream because it actually has several common recurring themes within it. They're not only recurring themes for Abigail, but they're recurring themes that a lot of you will relate to, you know, that you've probably had yourself. So, for example, one part of her dream relates to cheating in a relationship sense, you know, cheating on your husband. Another aspect of the dream that recurs for Abigail, and I know is also a common recurring dream theme, is that feeling of having endless impossible tasks, you know, never getting the job done, never being able to do it right to everyone's satisfaction. And there's a lot more in the dream, but even if you just relate to those two or are curious as to what they mean, you're going to love this this interpretation and dream alchemy session with Abigail. There's also, there's lots of surprises, but I'm going to just let you listen and discover them. Some of the insights that we come to through this interpretation will be insights that are applicable to many common situations in life. So I do urge you to listen to the whole podcast and reap what you can for yourself or for people you know from many of these common dream themes. But of course, Abigail's dream around that is also totally unique and totally different and has some really interesting symbols in it. So let's go meet Abigail and find out what's happening for her in her life, what she'd like to change, and how she's going to do this. Welcome to the show, Abigail. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Really good. Yes, we've just had our nice cup of coffee because you're in a lovely time zone that enables us to get up and be all fresh and well slept and have a cup of coffee. Whereas I think you're in a time zone where it's the end of your day.
Yeah, we're going to have dinner soon.
So. Okay, now, what dream have you got for me?
Okay, this was on the 8th of September, so not too long ago. All right, I'll just read it here. I dreamed that Melvin is my son, went somewhere, and we happened to meet Tim in some kind of a garden or a yard outside of a house where somebody was having a party. And Tim was extremely happy to see me. We started making love, and it felt that it could be beautiful, but at the last minute I pulled away, I felt guilty because each of us were married, and I said, Tim, we can't do this. This is wrong. I knew he was unhappy in his marriage, and I saw his wife, an old, stodgy, religious type of woman with a bun on her head. She was not very appealing, yet I knew that Tim and I still should not unite illegally. Then I was in my mom's church, which looked way different than it really does, and she gave me a task. I had to grade the Sunday school homework that her students from Sunday school class were supposed to complete. This job was really not appealing to me, but I wanted to help her out because she was busy. I didn't have a grade guide, but she said all the answers would be obvious to me since I knew the Bible so well. I did not feel that I wanted to do this since it looked difficult and complicated. And I didn't even know her students, but she said it wouldn't take long. The first problem was how to record the grades. She said I should put all their names in a list on the marker board and write their grade next to each name. And I said, but then everyone will be able to see everyone else's grade. She said that's how she usually did it. She was getting irritated with my reticence and that I couldn't just figure things out by myself. I also had to take a picture of each student and paste it next to their name as well. I had a strange camera. It would take a picture and then make an ink stamp of the image, which could be directly transferred to the marker board. All the students' names were written on a chalkboard on the opposite side of the room, but they were scattered messily all over it, so I copied them in list style on my board. I remember one of the names was Dorothy. The next obstacle was that the students had written their homework assignments directly into their hymnals, rather than on loose sheets of paper. I had to open a bulky hymnal, find the right page, and score the assignment. There was a large stack of hymnals against the wall, and none of them had anyone's name on it, so I did not know which ones had been used for the homework assignments and which ones were just regular hymnals. My frustration was mounting. There was also a girl, kind of teenager, I think, who was very irritating to me. I don't know if she thought she was trying to help or if she was intentionally getting in my way. I was trying to track down each student so I could take a picture of them for the marker board. I had taken a few pictures and put them on the board, and I had graded a few papers. At one point, I turned around, and the irritating girl had erased my list of names and rewritten them in alphabetical order, but leaving the pictures and scores I had written so far in their original places. So now everything was completely messed up. I was angry with her, and I yelled at her. She explained she thought it was just more logical to have the names in alphabetical order. I was so angry and frustrated, I just gave up on the assignment, and I started crying, and I left the room. Melvin and I took a back route to enter the sanctuary, which was huge and very modern compared to the church that Mom goes to in real life. On the way, I was able to look into the sanctuary from backstage. There were a few people in line on stage, and each one was supposed to give a brief testimony. Tim was one of them, and when it was his turn, he took the liberty of giving a long animated sermon. He was very charismatic and everyone loved him. I felt sad that we couldn't be together. Melvin and I sat as far as we could from the other people in a pew way off to the left. I saw Tim's wife. She was not even in the sanctuary, but looking in from the back window with her disapproving frown and stiff manners. Tim said, "I'm really good at church, but I'm not as good at the rest of life." I felt sad for him, and that's when I woke up.
Wow, beautiful long dream, and so much in there. I'm itching to get in.
I have very vivid dreams.
And great.
And this has a lot of themes in it that have been recurring for quite a while.
Oh, that's excellent. That's really good. And hey, congratulations on your recall there. That's really fantastic. So, as we go through, I'm going to jump in and ask you questions and begin to make observations. And then as we go through, you'll probably start to relate it to what's been happening in the day or two before the dream, because, as you know, a dream reflects what's been going on for the last 24 to 48 hours. But because, Abigail, you've said, oh, this is a good dream because it's got, themes that have been recurring for a long time. Obviously, these reflect issues in your waking life that have been recurring for a long time. So every time you come up against a certain issue, a conflict, it's reflected in the dream. And because it's something that's unresolved in your waking life, it comes up again, and then it comes up in the dream again. Yeah. It comes up again. So this is a really excellent kind of dream to bring to a consultation like this. There's so much in it. And one of the things I'm going to jump into straight away is this thing. At one point you had the board where you were arranging the students' names and putting their ink photos up and putting their grades up, and it was very much on show. And then right up in almost opposite that, like behind you and opposite that, was a blackboard. And in contrast to the nicely sort of organized names on the whiteboard, the blackboard had, it was all hickledy-pickledy, it was all over the place, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And as the dream went on, there, one of the questions in the dream was, how do I get this organized? How much organization do I want? How much organization do I not want? Because that irritating girl, for example, wanted you to organize it so deeply that it was even in alphabetical order, which was really going to get in the way of what you wanted to do.
Okay. Right.
So what we've got there is right in the middle of the dream, there is this lovely thing where I see the whiteboard in front of you, as where you're trying to organize stuff, is almost like the conscious world, what you're aware of. And the blackboard, black being the unconscious and being the opposite, it's almost like, well, in contrast to what is conscious, we have this unconscious place, this blackboard, where everything's hickledy-pickledy. So on the one level, we've got this thing in waking life where you are required to, or you have goals to get things nice and organized and logical. Your unconscious is far more programmed, and we're going to go into this for, well, I'm not really sure that I want that to happen. I actually prefer the kind of all over the place approach. Now, just hold that thought for a moment. We then go to your mum in the dream, and your mum was getting kind of irritated with you because she was like, well, why do you want me to tell you precisely what to do? Because can't you just figure this out? And you were feeling in the dream, weren't you, that, well, I should be able to figure this out, and I'm feeling really bad that I can't. That was the feeling, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was also, this is another theme that has come up, is I'm given an assignment that I don't want to do. And it's, I kind of feel obligated to do it for whatever reason.
Mm.
And then I always, in these assignments, in these the recurring dreams that I have, and it's always a different assignment, but it's, I always have problems and I just can't do it.
Okay.
And it's something, yeah, exactly, I should be able to just figure it out and I can't.
Okay, that's so we'll take that theme forward. And in this dream, one of the reasons that you couldn't figure it out was that you she was trying to give you a logical, or no, you were trying to look for a logical way to it. How do I do it? Do I, you kept asking, well, do I put the names here? Do I, what exactly do you want me to do? Translates as,
give me
the kind of logical formula and then I can follow it.
Yeah.
Whereas she was sort of saying to you, but this should come naturally. Like, figure it out means you should just know this. You don't need a formula. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. So these are, this is that's another conflict within you, that when you have something to do, this part of you wants to do it, wants to have the formula. Well, how exactly do I do that? You know, what's the logical formula?
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of you, which is probably far more unconscious, it's more like that blackboard, is like, look, I don't actually really want to go through a logical approach. I really want to be able to just sort of see my own way through, and but I can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So
it is true. That is a conflict I have in life between being more intuitive and more formulaic.
Yeah.
That is.
And you can see that in Tim there too, because I'm going to ask you a lot more questions and go much deeper, Abigail, but you said with Tim at the end there in the dream, he was like really charismatic and really doing in a fantastic spiritual or preaching job in the dream. But after that, he said...
And that's how he is in real life.
Is it? But you know how he said in the dream, I wish I could be like that in my private life as well. Is that reflective of waking life for him as well, or is he charismatic in his private life?
Well, he's one of those people that everybody just naturally likes. You know, that's what I mean by charismatic. He can, you know, some people just have that charm.
Mm.
And that is how he is. I don't know much about his personal life, to be honest. I mean, I haven't seen him in years.
Mm.
And I know that there, you know, like anybody, there are frustrations and things that I can see from a distance, but I don't know much about him.
No, that's all right, because everything in a dream is not about the person himself, but how you see him. So because you don't know that about him, that's also important in the dream, because there's an element there which we'll come to of, see, this is all about you wanting to be more charismatic, more less logical, actually, you know, more intuitive, more working things out for yourself, more naturally knowing how to do things, but also concerned that you might be able to do that in a kind of career role, as in Tim does in the dream, like, I'm a preacher, it's my job to be charismatic, but how can I translate that and bring that into my own personal home as well? So that's sort of part of the thing. Now, you said you hadn't actually seen Tim for a long time, so I'm interested, is Tim a recurring dream symbol, or has he just popped up in this dream?
He was the first guy I ever fell in love with when I was 18 years old.
Okay.
So during that period of life, I had some dreams about him. But I haven't seen him in a dream for quite a while.
Okay. And how long since you've actually seen him?
Maybe, I don't know, 4 years ago, briefly.
Yeah. I only asked that because
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's okay. He's obviously a key symbol, and I was just thinking, well, how long ago did you see him? 4 years ago means that if you saw him then and he was different, your dream symbol would have been based on what you felt about him then. So that just gives us a sort of, you know, feeling for all of that. So he obviously represents, from what you've said there, you know, from being the first person you fell in love with, and also in the dream, that feeling of he's charismatic, he's attractive, I want to be with him. Regardless of all the reasons why you couldn't in the dream and in waking life, it's that attraction. He represents a deep passion, not so much for a person as he was in waking life when you were 18, but a passion for life, a natural, you know, when you're passionate, you don't stop and think, oh, what's the formula for that then? You know, how do I do that logically? You just flow with the moment. It just is.
Yeah.
You know? So in many ways, he represents that. And in his dream wife is the exact opposite, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she's got the tight bun, you know, so it's like she... You might think that hair in dreams could, say, represent what flows, you know, but hers is all caught up in a bun. She's not flowing. She's strict. She's judgmental. She's
old.
Old, did you say? Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's, you know, the exact opposite to sort of charismatic and flowing with the moment and everything there. So right at the beginning of the dream, your son Melvin takes you there. Mm-hmm. Now, how would you describe Melvin in three, you know, his personality in three words?
Oh, Melvin. He's shy. He's precious. gosh, how do I describe him? Curious,
yeah.
He likes to explore, but he's also very cautious.
Yeah.
For a child, he's very cautious.
Okay, so that's a really interesting contradiction there, isn't it? He's curious, but he's also cautious. They're kind of like two ends of the spectrum, really. He likes to explore, but he's cautious.
Yeah, he has to have permission. You know, it's just, I mean, most kids aren't like that, I think, but, you know, he'll see something new and he really wants to see it, but he'll come to me and ask, can I touch it, you know?
Yeah.
I have to give him permission.
That, yeah, okay, well, when you have someone in your dream, they represent something about you. So because Melvin's right there at the top of the dream and he goes with you somewhere, right at the top of the dream, you're basically saying, I'm looking at this Melvin aspect of myself. So that Melvin aspect of yourself might be, it's obviously absolutely beautiful from how you describe him. He's gorgeous. And it's also about where I, Abigail, have a conflict between being curious, which I am, and wanting to explore new things, which I am, but also feeling cautious in a sense that I maybe feel that I'm not naturally entitled to go and explore new ways of being. I have to get permission from someone to do that.
Yeah,
right.
True.
Yeah. So that's right at the top of the dream, and we'll find out why that is. And where he takes you straight up is Tim. So Tim seems to represent charisma, passion. Yes, in the sense of making love in the dream is a reflection of, you can't get much closer to a person than making love with them. And so in many ways, when you have this in a dream, it's looking at how much you're trying to, how much you'd like to be like this other person, how much you'd like to bring the qualities of this other person on, literally on board, just as you unite in making love. So with Tim representing a natural passion for something, you don't have to have a formula for it, and charisma. The beginning of the dream is, I would like to be like that. I would like to have some of what Tim's got. I would like to be like that. But as the dream says, we can't. Now, that in the dream, you give a logical reason, which is true in waking life. We're both married to other people. But forget the logic of that and just realize in the dream, it was not permissible. So you've got that same thing with Melvin there of, I'm curious, I'd like to try something new. I'd like to be more charismatic, less logical. I'd like to explore more. I'm curious. But what's holding me back is that you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Right. There's something in me that...
And that's another recurring theme is, I mean, I don't know when it started, but maybe a year after getting married, I started having dreams that I was cheating or trying to cheat on my husband.
Yeah.
And I was always feeling so guilty. You know, when I woke up, it's like, gosh, why do I keep having these dreams? And at first I thought, well, maybe it's just wish fulfillment dreams, you know. You know, I'm angry with him for whatever reason, and so I have a dream that I'm cheating on him. But just a few days ago, I realized it can't be a wish fulfillment dream because I never succeed in actually going through with it. There's always something that gets in the way.
That holds you back, yeah. Good observation.
So
I'm glad.
I'm kind of curious about why I keep dreaming about cheating on myself.
Yeah, well, let's cover that one right up, because everybody's ears would be pricked listening, because it's quite a common dream theme.
And I have family listening, so I'm kind of blushing as I say this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look, everybody listening, you know, these are dreams are not what they seem, and it's so enlightening. And everybody, no matter what your background, has had this kind of dream in some shape or form. And if you're listening in and thinking, well, I haven't had it, you probably have. You just haven't remembered the dream. And this is where it's really worrying for people when, you know, when a dream feels so real and you think that it is connected with, you know, what the dream seems to be literally. You have a cheating dream and you think it's connected with your relationship or with cheating in some sense. Instead of forgetting to take a deep breath and take a step backwards and say, a dream is not what it seems, but your unconscious mind in dreaming tries to paint a picture to give you the idea, and it uses situations and symbols that it thinks will help you to understand. So this is what a cheating dream will generally mean. If you're the person doing the cheating, on your familiar partner, this usually comes up when you're actually looking at making changes in your life. Nothing to do with your relationship, but just maybe looking at new ways to approach life, new ways to be. And what you actually feel like is you're thinking, I'm cheating on myself. But I married this person and I was, you know, however you were, this is my personality, this is who I was, these were my beliefs and my attitudes. And, you know, as all of us would hope that as we go through life, we evolve and become better and better and better people. So we fine tune our attitudes or we change them or whatever. But each time we do those, it's like we're moving away from the person who your husband married. Like, is he still going, no, I'm different. Oh, you know, this is, and your unconscious mind basically pictures that in a dream quite often as cheating. It's like, I'm betraying who I was originally. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? I feel guilty.
Right.
Is it right to make changes in my life? So you can see how this begins to tie in with the dream that you've got here, where you're looking at, oh, I'd like to be more passionate, not necessarily with Tim or with another person or even, you know, anything to do with making love or people or relationships. I just want to approach my life in a way which is less logical, less cut and dried, and more running with a kind of inner passion. But in doing that, I feel like I'm betraying the Abigail that everyone knows. I need permission to do this. Otherwise, I'm going to feel guilty. So that's where all cheating dreams come from. Whichever partner seems to be cheating in the dream, you know, if you had a dream where your husband cheated on you, you'd still be asking yourself the same questions, because everyone in a dream represents something about you. So you go, okay, there's a situation in my life in the last 2 days where I feel like I've been cheated or I've been betrayed in some way. What have I done to give myself that feeling?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's where those dreams are coming from. Now, I'm just going to jump a little bit all over the place here.
That's fine.
Who was Dorothy again? Was Dorothy the irritating girl or...?
It was one of the names on the blackboard.
Oh, that's right.
And I don't know anybody named Dorothy. The only Dorothy I can think of is from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah. So, and I live in Kansas, so there's a possibility of a connection.
Okay, so the story of Wizard of Oz is that Dorothy has to click her heels 3 times to come home to Kansas. Is that right?
The famous line is... we're not in Kansas anymore. She ends up, you know, taken up by the tornado, and she's in this magical land, and she tells her dog, we're not in Kansas anymore. But she does end up clicking her heels, and then the magic sends her back home.
And when she comes home, is she a different person for having experienced her magical time away?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It's been a while. Yeah. What lessons... Oh, she learned that there's no place like home. That's the
that's
kind of the moral of the story, is to be content with where you are.
Yeah. Okay.
And she always wanted to go over the rainbow. She ended up going over the rainbow and having an adventure, and then she came back home and she appreciated her family and friends much more. Something like that.
Okay, that's really lovely. Well, there's a lot of themes there with your dream. You know, over the rainbow is like being curious, coming back home, but in a slightly different way, because she came back home without the need to fly over the rainbow, because she'd already been there. You have in what you've described there with Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz is that it's the archetypal spiritual journey by which you find yourself, and you know yourself has always been within, even though you've had to geographically travel and all sorts of things. But paradoxically, the only way you can find your true self is actually to make the journey, either geographically or spiritually or whatever. Yeah. So what you've got there in a sense in the dream, and I love the connection to Kansas, is first of all, you know, so everyone in the dream reflects something about you. So picking out the student Dorothy reflects something about you too, and probably as a child, you know, because these are students or younger people on the blackboard.
Yeah.
So there's a sense of I'm in Kansas, but hey, this isn't Kansas anymore. Something has changed, right? So what we're looking at in your dream is, I would like something to change, but I need permission for that. And I feel, you know, I feel guilty about it. And that's the struggle within Melvin, to explore, to be curious, or to be held back and cautious and await permission. So all of that is in Kansas there. So there's a sense in your dream, drawing attention to Dorothy and grading Dorothy is beginning to focus in on a part of yourself that is changing. It's like, we're not with Abigail anymore.
Yeah.
This isn't Kansas anymore. This isn't Abigail anymore. Things are changed.
Yeah.
Abigail is looking towards being less logical, more charismatic, more in tune with her passion. But she's really, really, really confused because she doesn't quite know how to do this. But we do know we're not in Abigail anymore. But the beauty of the story is that when you've worked all this out, you can come home and be at peace there. You'll just be at peace in a different way. Just as I guess, Tim at the very end of your dream said, I've got this charisma passion thing going in my career in the church environment, but I'd like to be able to bring this into my home environment. So this is like the same with you. I'm going out into my world and making changes whereby I would like to be less structured, less logical. And then if I can do all of that, the point of all of that would really be to bring this new transformed self back into the home, or and not just the physical home, but back into my heart, into myself.
Yeah.
So I think that's why Dorothy's there. I love the photos that naturally became kind of ink stamps, because they're almost, when you said ink stamp, what flashed in my mind was, it's not quite accurate, but what flashed in my mind is, it's a little bit like an old fashioned negative from a photograph, you know, whereas in, although you're
kind of, it makes all one color.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And kind of getting the outlines, but without the color, you know, so you're kind of putting these ink stamped pictures of them up on this list, which is quite logical and organized, but they're lacking the color, they're lacking the vitality, they're lacking the positives, they're lacking the life.
Right.
So there's something in your life that recurs, and particularly happened a day or two before this dream, where in your quest to attack something or do something in a kind of organized, logical way is actually taking the vitality and the color and the soul and the spirit out of it.
Uh-huh.
And you know that, and you want more of that. That's like, Tim, I want some of what he's got, but how do I get that?
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a lot more in the dream, but that's kind of like some of the basics. And I also wanted to say, you've got the church thing, obviously theme going through there as well. But at the end of the dream, instead of being in a church, you're in more of a sanctuary.
It's part of the church.
Oh.
It's where the worship, the big meeting room where the worship takes place. It, in the second scene, in the middle part, I was in a side room in one of the Sunday school rooms. And then we went through the backstage, and then we entered the sanctuary where all the people were.
Oh, okay. So it's going right into the heart of the church, really.
Yeah,
All right.
It's the part that everybody sees.
So the part that everybody sees. And that's what Tim really says too, like, I can be charismatic in the church, but can I take this home to my private self? But what you also do there is move from the side room, the grading room, into the
mm-hmm.
heart of the church, where it's like, this isn't about logic or rationality. This is about, whether you've found it or not, this is about finding some sense of truth or meaning or passion.
Yeah, that's where it happens.
Where it all happens. How are we going so far? Because it's such a big dream. There's so much in it. I know we can't go into everything, but would you like to start to make some comments now about what was happening the day or two before, and then we can go in some more?
I could, yeah. The problem with my life, the last, I guess maybe since having Melvin is that life doesn't change much. It's kind of, I feel very stuck. And I've been really struggling with depression quite a lot. And the question that I ask myself before going to sleep is, I need to take steps to be healed. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of feeling stuck. And actually, I woke up in the middle of the night with the word acceptance in my head. And I kind of felt like sort of a revelation, like, gosh, I really have a problem with acceptance. So all this stuff about being charismatic and going with the flow, and that was right on. It took me a while to get back to sleep, and that's when I had this dream, is right after that that revelation. Because one thing that came to me as well is, and I've always thought that I've been a self-confident person, and I don't need other people to accept me in order to feel good about myself. But there is a part of me that is sensitive, that does take rejection very personally and deeply. And I don't know. That was what was going on the night before.
Yeah.
As far as in life, I mean, really, there's not a lot of change that happens in life, and just, you know, taking care of a child. And so it's hard to say if there was anything that happened.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So, well, what was happening and what is recurringly happening from what you're saying is the depression and the feeling that nothing's changing.
Yeah.
And that, I guess, you know, that will come in waves, and as in, you know, sometimes the dream will come up reflecting, well, let's address this ongoing feeling now. So you really picked out some interesting things there. And it's quite funny, because when you said, I woke up in the night with the word acceptance, at first I misunderstood you, and I was thinking, well, that's what Dorothy does when she comes back to Kansas. You know, you said,
oh, yeah,
she accepts, oh, well, you know, this is home. Accept.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of different, but that's a different meaning of acceptance. What you went on to explain was that, you know, that you are, or think of yourself as a self-confident person, but realize that sometimes you actually do depend on or rely on other people's acceptance of what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's where the caution comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to be free to go and figure things out for myself and flow and be charismatic, but I need permission, not mm-hmm. so much from other people, but I need permission from myself to release myself from other people's judgment.
Yeah, I do.
So that highly judgmental Tim's wife in the dream with the bun peering through the window at the very end, I think, of the dream,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was at the very end, wasn't she, peering through the window judgmentally, I think you said?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, that was the end of your dream, as yes, all could be well, but who is this peering through the back window?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll just be in the charismatic flow and doing exactly everything wonderful, but what am I looking, what's in the right in the back here but other people's judgment?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so uh-huh. then remember that everyone in a dream is a reflection of yourself. So this woman, this judgmental self, is the part of yourself that is judgmental. You know, with your eyes yeah. open, you see that as other people, but really it's you. If you didn't worry about what other people thought about you, there wouldn't be a part of yourself that is standing on guard being judgmental. There's a part of yourself which is like that woman in the dream with a tight bun going,
yeah,
well, you better not do that because people aren't going to approve of that. So it's kind of like bringing that judgmental person, critical person right inside.
Yeah.
So one of the things we'll do in Dream Alchemy is we won't bump her off, because you never do that in Dream Alchemy. We'll transform her. We'll open her eyes. and your mum was a key figure in the dream. So, and your mum was kind of getting a bit irritated with you in the dream. How would you describe your mum? And hello, mum, I know you may be listening. How would you describe your mum in three words, her personality or approach to life?
Well, I feel like who she was in the dream is pretty different from who she is in real life.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, she's very happy. She's very busy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that word acceptance is in my head. She is a very accepting person.
Okay, that's lovely.
In real life.
Okay.
Very open-minded and accepting of people and what happens, and, you know, she takes everything in stride. Sorry, that was more than three words.
That's very good. So she's happy, busy, and very accepting, and takes everything in her own stride. And in the dream, the personality in the dream was more like, well, look, you know, stop asking me questions. Just, you know, just you should know what to do. That was really what it was in the dream, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But although that is a different feeling of personality, as you say, there is a connection there, you know, because as you described your mum, acceptance isn't a problem. She just gets on and does what she has to do and goes with the flow and is happy within herself and also busy. We'll come back to the busy. But she doesn't depend on acceptance. That's how you've described her. So in the dream, there's almost like this part of herself saying, well, look, it doesn't matter whether it's logical. It doesn't matter. Stop looking for things to be right so that everybody will tick the box and accept you. You can do this, you know. She's like in the dream, like, I'm the ultimate mother. I'm letting my baby take her own steps and discover that she can do it. And she doesn't need a plan. So there's that aspect in it. Now, again, she doesn't represent herself. She's everyone in a dream represents something about you. So in a way, she represents your own mothering instincts, the way that you mother yourself, and maybe the way that you mother Melvin as well, but mostly the way that you mother yourself. So there's a part of yourself that would really like to nurture you and say, come on now, Abigail, you don't need these structures. You don't need to do things in a way that other people will. You don't need to seek permission or be accepted. You can actually just make mistakes, just find a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And you can be like that blackboard behind you with all the names all muddled up. But, you know, something's going to come of it. And maybe that's going to have more color and more life and more vitality than the whiteboard in front of you, which is kind of all organized, but just ink outlines.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to remember two things and I don't want to forget either of them. This busy thing is possible. Do you try to make yourself very busy? Sometimes
I prefer to be busy, but that has been a frustration with staying home with the child, and there's another child on the way.
Yeah.
It's really hard to make plans. It's really hard to get out. It's hard to it's hard to make myself busy because I have to be available for the children.
Yeah.
And it's something that I care about, and it's not that I would. I mean, if I wanted to make another choice, I would make another choice.
Yes.
But it is a frustration to my personality.
Yeah.
Because I do prefer to be active and challenged and, you know.
There's nothing like beautiful little children and pregnancies to really face you with your stuff. I know. I've been there. So you've got busyness thing from your mum. You know, your mum, just keep busy, just keep happy, go with the flow. Busy is something that she probably values a lot, and it's something you've taken from her and have done. And as a person possibly prone to depression, that I'd say that you were prone to depression because of this need to trap yourself by needing permission and acceptance rather than just flowing. It's like, you know, something's missing from your life, and I think that's the depression. In the past, maybe keeping busy to avoid or deny or cover up the depression. In the situation
for sure.
You're in, so in the situation you're now, one of the many, many blessings that your Melvin and your unborn child are bringing you is taking away that busyness, which was a trick, really. So that you're actually faced with the deeper issue, which is, okay, this depression is born of, excuse the pun, is born of difficulties with wanting acceptance. I could have spent the rest of my life without children staying busy, but I would have been running around keeping busy to keep the depression at bay instead of finding a place at peace with myself and bringing the vitality back in.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt too, that I've got to face it.
Yeah.
There's no escaping it.
That's right.
Sit down here and get through it.
Oh, that's a beautifully wise choice, and that's absolutely wonderful. So that's what we're going to move on to do with the dream alchemy. If you've got any other questions about the dream before we move into that.
No, I think you touched on, everything.
Mm. Okay, so,
I do have a question. The theme of having assignments that are given to me by other people that I don't want to do, but I feel obligated to do.
Okay. I'd say that's...
Is that just part of the same thing?
The busyness. The busyness.
Kind of
yeah, everyone in a dream represents something about yourself. So there's many parts mm-hmm. of yourself that we'll just do another assignment. Come on, keep you busy. But you're also at a stage where I don't want that. That is just confusing. It's not getting me anywhere. And it, also the assignments, the eternal assignments is the eternal, as you say, the grading. Hey, look, you know, the grading, acceptance. Oh, Abigail, mm-hmm. you're a 10 out of 10. You can go ahead. Oh, Abigail, naughty girl. 2 out of 10. No good. Fail.
Yeah.
Okay. So this whole grading thing is about, you know, the importance that you have had or drawing that to you, into your attention of the importance that you've placed on acceptance and judgment from other people. And so the eternal assignments.
Yeah.
So part of the eternal assignments may have been that you constantly jump to do the equivalent of assignments, you know, to do your duty in the world so that people accept you. And you've had enough mm-hmm. of that because it's not getting you anywhere. Just like in the dream, it doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't get you anywhere at all other than in a depressed state because it just takes the vitality away. The more that you try to restrain and force yourself into a way of life or a personality or an approach to life just to get 10 out of 10 from other people, the more color you're draining from your life. So, hey, who wouldn't be depressed?
Yeah.
So you've really got two choices. Okay. You can go and you've already just told me that you've made the choice to make a change. But, you know, you can go the rest of your life getting 10 out of 10 marks from everyone you know and having no color in your life. Or you can let go of worrying, having any concern about other people's acceptance of you. And particularly coming from a religious background where there are, you know, can sometimes be more specific judgments on how you're going in life.
Yeah, rules. And,
that's
yeah.
right, mm-hmm. which you would have had since childhood. So it's beginning to make decisions for yourself and living a life of color, you know, not least of which because you don't want to feel depressed, and most of which because you want in leading that colorful life to inspire your children. And as they grow older and move out into the world, to inspire yourself and the world in general with how you live your life.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking at your dream to do some dream alchemy. And just as a reminder for anyone listening in that hasn't listened to many of these, what dream alchemy does is it comes in many forms. I'm going to give you, Abigail, a visualization today, but it comes in many other forms. Sometimes it's affirmations. Sometimes it's artwork. It's all kinds of things. And the idea is to use symbols from your dream and interact with those symbols in the dream to transform them, because those symbols from your dream are your unconscious mind's own language. So in transforming dream symbols, you actually transform some of the beliefs and limitations in your unconscious mind so that they then don't interfere. You become released from them and you can go and, in your case, Abigail, let color into your life. So that's the dream alchemy. So Abigail, what I'm thinking is there's so much in your dream, and I'm thinking what we really want to do is forget about getting scores on the blackboard. Transform the judgmental lady into a totally non-judgmental and accepting aspect of yourself. And I think between those two things, we can reprogram your unconscious mind to let go of judgment, let go of self-judgment, let go of needing acceptance and permission from other people, and let go of grading and logic.
Yeah.
And then I think the third thing that I'd like to introduce into the alchemy is some kind of permission to bring color into your life. You know, knowing that you can still have color in your life, even if you're rattling around at home, you know, in the last months of pregnancy and with a small child, you don't actually necessarily mm-hmm. have to be out there to have color in your life. You can have color at home as well once you realize that you can do that.
I believe that. Yeah. Just wish I could get it.
Yeah, just like Tim said at the end of the dream, I'd like to have this in my own home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, as I go into the dream alchemy, also to, because you do have a tendency to want to do to have things to be logical and organized and rational and make sense, to let go of that, and particularly to let go of the thought that you've had for a long time that at home, I can't bring color and passion into that because I've got restrictions. You know, I want to explore, but how can I do that at home? Let go of that, any logical, rational thoughts you've got about that can't be done, and allow yourself to be the kind of curious, exploring child that will actually be surprised to find that there is a way. You don't need to know what that way is. You just allow it to unfold, and then you'll go, I didn't realize that it could be that simple. Are you with me?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I am.
Okay. Okay, so what I'm thinking for the visualization is, let me just have a moment here to think where I am at too. Okay, I'm thinking that we're going to scrub the whiteboard of all that organized logical stuff, and that we're going to have we'll plan it and then I'll lead you through it, that we'll scrub the whiteboard of all that grading and black and white stuff and you know, concern, and that as you wipe it over with a cloth, as you let that go, you're going to be amazed that this beautiful, colorful picture is just going to naturally appear. And we won't worry about what that picture is. We'll just be stunned and amazed by the colors. And if you do need a picture, we'll just bring in a rainbow kind of picture, because we know from Dorothy that once you've been over the rainbow, everything changes. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's bringing about the color. And then we'll look over your shoulder at that stage, and we'll see the lady with the bun just transforming into quite the opposite, into a totally loving and accepting person. So we're going to get our hair to be long and flowing, and we're going to just have a lovely white light around her that just has that feeling of, ah, she accepts everything I do, she's just total love. Will you be able to bring up that kind of character as we do that?
I hope so. I'll try. I think I can picture a beautiful woman with long flowing hair and
So even if you have like an icon of your own or a person that you know that would fit that bill, you can transform it into that kind of image, or an angel or something like that.
Okay. All right.
So here we go. Close your eyes.
All right.
Okay, Abigail, here you are in your dream, and you stand back and you look at that whiteboard with all those ordered students' grades and all its black and white detail, and you take a deep breath and you laugh and you think, I've had enough of this, and you take your magic cloth and in one sweep you wipe all that names and all those grades off the board. And as you do so, something absolutely alchemically magical happens, and a beautiful colors just automatically appear on that previously white board, and it's almost like a rainbow. And it just makes you feel so good. The colors just come right through into your heart. You feel happy. You feel peaceful. You feel charismatic. It's as if these colors then not only come into you, but also glow from you. So there's a constant exchange. It comes in, it goes out. It comes in, it goes out. In an eternal exchange, you know, it flows to you and it flows out in all these beautiful colors. And it makes you feel so charismatic and so good. And you look over your shoulder and you see that that old lady with the bun is actually transforming as you look at her. Just as the whiteboard transformed into colors, her hair becomes loose and long and flowing. She becomes surrounded by a white light. She totally transforms, and in her place forever and ever and ever is a beautifully accepting feeling of love. And this person will always now, this beautiful, white, loving, accepting person will always be a part of you now. She's in your heart, Abigail, and you will always feel her no matter what anybody else says or does. She says, you're okay. You can do whatever you want to do, because that's how the color flows. How did that feel?
Good. Yeah, I think I can do that.
Okay. So you just said to me there, I think I can do that. And that's the rational part of yourself, which we would expect at this stage, saying, oh, I don't know, my head thinks that's a good idea. I'm not sure how my heart feels. So this is where I want you to really find a way, and the way is just to do it. So find a way to not look at the rationality of what you're doing, but just to give yourself permission just to do this visualization. And if you need help with that, just say, look, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just going to imagine, I'm going to pretend that it does work. I'm going to just let Jane Teresa think that I pretend that this is going to work. And I'm just going to do it. I'm going to be like a child. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be like Dorothy in her dream. The magic's going to be there. And just do it and do the visualization. And each time you do it, even maybe put your hand on your heart so that you get the visualization as much as you can down into your heart. When you first do it, because of who you are, it will be in your head. But just put your hand on your heart and say to yourself that you trust that this visualization, that you'll feel it more and more in your heart. Okay, do it just 20 times a day for 2 weeks. And then twice a day for 4 weeks. And then look out for changes in your life. And one thing that may happen, just to give you the little nod, is because you've had this depression for a long time, it has resulted in some feelings inside you that you will need to let out. So it may be in the first few days of doing this visualization, or even straight after this call today with me, it may be that you may begin to feel, paradoxically, actually feel some depression, but say to yourself, this is good, because what I'm actually doing is letting this come up so I can feel it, so I can let it go. So if that happens, cry it out, know it's transitional, but also say to yourself, you know, this is really good, because the more of this black and white stuff that comes out, the more of this restriction that comes out, the more the color comes in.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay, and let me know how you go. Let us all know how you go.
Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing your dream today, Abigail.
You're welcome. Thanks for helping me. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. So I have this tune going on in my head, you know, somewhere over the rainbow, but I'm just going to click my heels 3 times and, oh, I'm back home in the podcast studio. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. You know where to go for more help. You can go to my website at www.dream.net.au for loads and loads of self-help stuff, and also for details about how to contact me, either if you'd like to be a guest on the show or if you'd like to have a private consultation with me by Skype. Or you can go to my blog at janetheresa.com or join me on Facebook. And so, until next episode, which is only 7 days away and counting, have a lovely week. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Come onto the podcast blog and leave some comments on the show. And from memory, I think the podcast blog website address is lifestylepodnetwork.com.au/thedreamshow, or one word. That's lifestylepodnetwork.com.au/thedreamshow. Go there, you can leave comments on any of the shows. That's it from .au from Australia. Have a lovely week. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.